This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
And we're coming to you live from the Built Ford Tough Studio. Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti. It's Boomer and Geo on the Fan, simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. And wherever you are in the free Odyssey app, good Thursday morning. I wasn't worried after the blowout in Game 1. I knew that the Mets were going to come back in Game 2 and make this a series. Gave him a pass. So it'll be okay. And they did come back in Game 2. However, last night was different. They didn't have it from the get-go. It just felt weird in the second inning, the way things were unfolding. The Francisco Alvarez mistake of throwing to second base, Luis Severino not being able to corral the second ball that gets hit right to him. Second inning, stranding runners. And this one was a complete and total bummer. Now, I'm not going to sit here and start killing these guys. I did enough of that in April and May. They deserve every bit of faith and respect with what they've done this year. But, man, was that so disappointing and, quite frankly, unexpected to get blown out again like that? Now, they were very close to getting a big hit several times, didn't do it, so I know that they'll be able to be in situations tonight getting guys on base, and maybe they get the big hit this time around. But Carlos Mendoza, who after the game said, hey, I'm sticking with my guys, I'm sticking with Alvarez, I'm not changing anything, you know, that might be a mistake, because sometimes making that one move to change things where you're not panicking, but you've seen enough, could be the difference in winning and losing a series, and I think that he needs to seriously consider not having Francisco Alvarez in the lineup. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, G. I don't think it's going to happen. He's going to ride with the guys who got him here, and, you know, Francisco Alvarez is a very important part and piece of the future at 22 years old, and I think we've talked about, you know, his struggles, and we talked about how he seems to be paralysis by analysis right now, and he is totally overwhelmed in the batter's box, and he just needs to either have a day where he can get a couple hits and a couple big hits, but he is unfortunately, you know, going through it as a young man, and it's not easy. And I'm sure that Carlos Mendoza, you know, will talk to him, and I'm sure Francisco Lindor will talk to him and try to keep his, you know, keep his confidence up, and it's a hard thing to do. But
how about the fact we talked about he needs to relax, not gripping the bat too tight, and his first swing, he throws his bat into the netting.
It's a tough deal. But you know, listen, Luis Severino didn't have it last night either. I mean, you know, you wanted a really good performance from him. You thought after the first inning, okay, let's settle in, and then the second inning was a disaster. I mean, you know, walks. The ball never left the infield, for God's sake. Yeah. And, you know, the little, like, 3-foot number out in front of the plate, you know. And again, a player who's doing too much or trying to do too much. And it's evident to everybody, you know. And I'm sure it's evident to Francisco Alvarez, and I'm sure he feels miserable about it. But, you know, somehow you got to keep his confidence up. You know, you just got to. You got to support your players who got here. We're at the NLCS. It's one game. They got to win four before the whole thing's over with. So you have plenty of time to, you know, get back into this thing and show your mettle and show what kind of team you've been this entire year. And it's not just Alvarez.
No,
Iglesias. It's you know, it's poor Brandon Nimmo could barely walk.
JD Martinez.
You know. I mean, like, so it's a little bit of everybody, just like it is when they win. So again, it was disappointing, just like Game 1 was disappointing, but they came back in Game 2, and I would think that they'll come back again tonight, and you got Quintana on the mound. The thing about it is, like, Walker Buehler threw 90 pitches in 4 innings. They had him on the ropes.
Yeah, and that was actually the best he has pitched in a while.
Oh, they're swinging at bad pitches, too.
And, yeah, he's getting them to chase, and he's was striking guys out. So it was really, really frustrating because I thought that they had an advantage with the starting pitching matchup last night. And I don't think they've got that advantage the next couple of days because they're throwing Yamamoto and Flaherty in 4 and 5. So
you never know, man. Come on. Like, this is baseball, and the next day you wake up and you turn the page, as a lot of people in this country would like to do. And I would just say for the Mets, they wake up today and they got another opportunity.
Yeah, and you know what? I don't want to sit here and I'm not going to pound on Alvarez all morning long because he is a young guy and I know that he's trying his ass off. But the reason why I think it's time, and I know he's not going to do it because he works well with Quintana, and Mendoza was asked about it several times last night. He's like, no, Alvarez is playing. That's the end of it. Is he is now so lost that he has gone, the pendulum has swung the other way. So, and people who have played sports at any level who have struggled with anything, you know, whether it be pickleball or golf or whatever, know when this happens. Like, when you get screwed up and then all of a sudden, you're trying different things now that's doubly screwing you up. So what I mean with Alvarez is he's swinging and missing, he's swinging and missing, he can't hit the fastball, he's popping up a fastball when he gets it, and even John Smoltz is talking about technique and where his bat is. It's like he's never going to be able to catch up to these fastballs and barrel it up with the way that his mechanics are in the box. So then he starts taking pitches. So now he's so screwed up because he's swinging and missing that he's just like, you know, I might as well just take some pitches, and he strikes out twice looking! It strikes right down the middle. It's like, so now he's just so far screwed up. He's the other guy. He's like, I might as well just not swing. So he is, how many runners has he stranded in the last two
games?
Well,
by the way, the one thing I will say, Dave Roberts now knows that if they do get to the bottom of the lineup and he's in the mix, just, you know, just pitch around somebody else, just get to him because it's going to be an automatic out until he wakes up, if he wakes up, you know,
and he still can. And
I'm sure he can. They all can. And, you know, like, I would just say, you know, even Francisco Lindor was swinging a couple bad pitches.
Yeah,
I'm not sitting there saying that.
The knuckle curve of Buehler was abusing Lindor last night.
It was, and he had a rough night, and that's the way it goes in baseball. And that's why, you know, there's always tomorrow in baseball. Now, tomorrow is coming early, I will say that.
Until there isn't.
And it's hard to, like, think of yourself, oh, my God, this is an oh-my-God Met team. They've done a lot of great things this year. What? Why would that change right now?
No, they've
had two really dud bad games, and a lot of it is because of walks, because of bad decisions in the field, and you know I said defense wins championships as well. Everybody just thinks offensively until the ugly defense shows itself. We saw that when the Mets played the Royals back in 2015. The Royals fundamentally sound, made all the plays, made guys like Lucas Duda actually throw the ball to somebody.
Yeah, yeah.
And they knew that was a weakness of the Mets, so they wanted to get the ball in his hands to see what he could do with it and put pressure on him to make a play. Now, the only reason I point that out is because I think that's where we are right now with the Mets. And Dave Roberts could say, look, man, Francisco Lindor is going to be a great young player someday, or
Alvarez.
Maybe he already is.
Alvarez.
Yeah. And it's just going to be a guy that we're going to take advantage of whenever we can. Because we can see that mentally he is certainly struggling.
Yeah, he is, and he's always felt like he was, you know, mature beyond his years, being able to step right in there and be a factor. And you pointed out when he came back, you know, he really seemed like a leader and
energy.
And a force and energy in the lineup. It's just, you know, it's not that at this point. And, you know, Iglesias is going to be in the lineup. I can't imagine that he won't be. But that double play last night and the way that he's been at the plate chasing is just not the guy we saw in the regular season. You saw his numbers at Citi Field all year long. He's hitting over 400. His OPS is through the roof. But he's not that same player right now. He's chasing. He's trying too hard. That double play, to me, was as much of a killer as anything last night. So, yeah, they've had their struggles. And, you know, Jeff McNeil gets an at-bat. You know, I know Mendoza loves this idea about these guys working hard to get back to be a part of this thing.
Yep.
And I know Tyrone Taylor is an Albert Pujols, but do we need to see Jeff McNeil in that situation?
We don't. At the end of the day, it's an 8-0 whitewashing.
Yeah, but you know, it wasn't at that point.
I know, but trying to get players in, and I don't know.
It wasn't 8-0 at that point. And you could see Tyrone Taylor was disappointed to put the camera on him in the dugout, and they went over to McNeil, and he, you know, slapped him on the back after the he popped out. But it's like, I don't need to see these guys.
And plus, time out. Hold on now.
I don't need to see Kodai Senga and Jeff McNeil. I don't.
I know you don't, but I'm just saying that, you know, in the meantime, while we're saying we don't need to see Kodai Senga and Jeff McNeil, we're also saying that maybe they should sit down Alvarez.
I'm but Terenz has been a guy who's been here. Now, I know he's Luis Terenz. I get it. But he's been here, and he's been healthy, and has been a part of it. These guys have been gone for months. That's a difference.
The way we're talking this morning is how we should be talking if and when it's over and if they will lose. They haven't lost yet. They had a dud. Everybody needs to relax, take a big deep breath, and come back today and win. And, you know, it takes four to win these things now. And I said, I am not going to just come in here and just start ripping away. There were some mistakes that were made. There were some key players that didn't live up to what, you know, you needed them to do as opposed to what the Dodgers did.
Yeah.
The Dodgers got a decent performance from Buehler, like 90 pitches in four innings. I mean, they had him on the ropes.
Yeah, and
they just could not come through where the Dodgers were able to come through.
Right, of course, and that's what it comes down to. It's that clutch hitting, and that's really the difference. But and like I said, I'm not going to sit here it all morning long pound on these guys. But I just we've talked about and had some fun with tipping points.
Yes.
This might be a tipping point situation where Carlos Mendoza's got to say, do I make a change here?
Can't.
I don't know. I just
he's asked a lot from all these guys all year long, and
you said it yourself. The guy's an automatic out.
I know. But I'm just the other thing I'm going to say to you though is that there is a closeness amongst this team, and you know when a manager starts making like changes and invoking, getting himself involved, all of a sudden it's panic city. And I, the one thing about Carlos Mendoza that he hasn't done at all this year, at any point in time, he hasn't panicked. He hasn't panicked. He stayed true to his team. He's given his players opportunities. You know, the story about Iglesias and about where he was last year and about him coming back and almost quitting baseball totally and Carlos Mendoza telling him, hey, look, you know, the first guy is you go down a AAA, you have a good AAA, somebody gets hurt, you're going to be the first guy up. Yeah. And he stayed true to that. Like, he didn't lie to him. He told him that he was going to give him a chance. And that whole thing with OMG and everything else has been a big part of this year. And due a large part to Carlos Mendoza being honest
with
Iglesias.
Right,
and I love that.
And I don't want to take him out of the lineup. I just want him to chill out, stop chasing, and become that player that he was in the regular season at Citi Field. That's all. I'm not taking him out of the lineup. It's Alvarez the one I would consider. And I still believe this team is done it time and time again. So you cannot lose any faith after this loss. It's just what I'll say is it's the first time since Pete Alonso came up and had to hit that 3-run homer that I felt like, uh-oh. You know, like when he was coming up in that situation,
yes.
I remember texting my friends, of course he's going to ground it to a double play and the season's going to end. And I was like, uh-oh, this is what's over.
What'd he do?
And he hit the home run.
Yeah, okay.
So then after that, I had been supremely confident throughout the entire Philly series. Said they weren't going back to Philadelphia. They didn't panic at all after game one. Came back and won game two. It's just the first time. Now, this is not losing faith. This is not being negative. It's just the first time I'm not supremely confident where I'm like, okay. This is a little concerning.
I mean, from the Dodgers standpoint, I would say, like, you know, Muncy, that bat with Will Smith.
Yeah.
That was an unbelievable at bat. I mean, they're got, and that's the bottom of the
they're
order.
They're a great team.
They're supposed to be doing these things. And quite frankly, they're supposed to be here. It's kind of like the Yankees. They're supposed to be here. Now, the question is can the Indians and the Mets find the magic? And the Mets did find the magic in game two. And why can't they find it tonight? Another good pitching performance, and hopefully Yamamoto is, you know, average.
Yeah, and I mean, if you want to talk about the magical script that has gone on with the Mets, I mean, this would be another chapter where we talked about Yamamoto for so long. He had dinner at Steve Cohen's home. Steve Cohen offered him more money than anybody, and then it felt like he was using the Mets as leverage. And now in the most important game of their season, here comes Yamamoto in that building. How great would it be to smack him around?
Yeah, it would be great. That's the way you got to look at it. And I know that this morning it's kind of pick up the pieces morning here. And that, you know, that's kind of what we're doing. But you also have to remember that they still have a lot a long way to go.
Yeah.
And, you know, in a few short days, we're going to know exactly. And we'll know tomorrow morning when we come in here what it feels like. And I know it feels like crap right now, but, you know, this team is, has been resilient all year long. And I know if you went to the game last night, you were probably in your car driving home just absolutely disappointed. I don't think anybody's mad at anybody. I don't feel like, you know the anger at the beginning of the season.
It's just concern.
Right. I don't feel that about this team because of where they are and what they've done.
Right. It's frustration and it's concern for me are the two things. And you got to believe that they're going to come back and play well tonight. They're not going to have another stinker dud game at home. They can't. That's not who they are.
I bet you this is exactly what the Cleveland sports fans are talking about. About their Indians.
Yeah, but
this has been a great year for the Guardians. Yeah. Oh my God. The Guardians.
Oh my God.
They've had a great year, and you know, I'm sure they're saying the same thing in Cleveland as we're saying right now about the New York Mets. And again, like I said, it's disappointing for sure. But you know, listen, these baseball players, they get up the next day, and next thing you know, you go 3-for-3, you hit a home run. And by the way, the Mets hit a couple balls last night that you thought were going to go out.
Yeah, the Pete Alonso one for sure. I mean, even Lindor, the first at-bat of the game, that ball carried, and I was like, man, you know, maybe the ball's going to be carrying. Carried for the Dodgers, not for the Mets.
Yes, it did carry for the Dodgers. Maybe they hit it just a little bit harder.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, I just know that... you know, Mendoza's going to get all. I'm sure he got a lot of tough questions last night. I didn't see his post game, and I'm sure Jerry will have some sound from last night's post game press conference. But you know, he's in an impossible position because some of his really important players that have really come through big this year have kind of hit the skids a little bit here, and he's got to stand by them. I understand exactly where Carlos Mendoza's coming. He's been around a long time. He's a baseball man.
Baseball man.
He understands what's going on. He's pushed a lot of right buttons this year. He's going to be up for manager of the year. And you know what? This is where you really get your mettle tested, if you will, because you know a lot of questions are going to be asked. Are you going to move this guy around in the batting order? You're going to sit this guy down. This guy's not playing well. You're going to give this other guy a shot. And they're like, hey, man, just chill out. You know, we're down 2-1. We got a game today, and we're going to come back. And the same guys that have gotten us here are going to be the same guys that are going to either get us out of this, or we're going to lose with them. And that to me, you could say whatever you want out there. To me, I love that. I love the loyalty. I love.
But then on the other hand, he's throwing Kodai Senga in there and forcing him into the lineup, but he hasn't been into the rotation when he hasn't been around at all. So I mean, that's counters everything.
But that's also the front office too. That's not just him. Yeah. That's the front office. That is an organizational decision.
Collaboration.
Well, decision.
Yeah.
Well, you want to say they're collaborating.
Yeah, it's collaborative.
Yo, listen, there's a lot of collaboration that goes on in sports.
Right.
Like, we collaborate all the time, and we're not even like a sports team, but we're a team, and we collaborate.
Indeed. A lot of collaboration happening here.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Hi, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. So I'm not negative or fatalistic at all. I just said I was frustrated and concerned with last night's loss in Game 3. And then this morning, another reason why I was concerned is the take from Jerry Recco on the warm-up show. Now, Jerry's miserable with NFL football picks. We know that.
He's just been really
bad at that. So before I give you a compliment, I got to knock you down.
Yeah, no, you're right.
But with baseball, he has been spot on. I mean, I'm talking insane predictions prior to seasons. The Rangers winning the World Series, the Mets and their over-under number.
Don't need to see that.
So, Jerry's 11-19 record. We're all under 500. And then Jerry came in today, and Al goes, you know, I think this series, most people believe this series is going to go 7, so you're going to lose some games. And Jerry goes, it's not going to go 7. The Dodgers are going to win in 6. And I was like, oh no. Oh, no.
Well,
oh, no. Not Jerry. Soothsayer baseball Jerry, who's been right about everything in baseball. I'm like, God.
I hope I'm wrong.
Me too.
Horribly wrong.
I mean, I know that you can't take anything out of last night's game and think that there's any chance for the Mets to beat the Dodgers, but...
No, that has nothing to do with it.
Okay.
Well, it has to have something to do with it.
That's not
I had this conversation with my son before the series began. I just think the Dodgers, I think we're discounting how good that team is.
But they've been good for years and they never get it done.
Yes, but this is...
They got Ohtani now.
They are really good.
But, yeah.
And I know the Padres gave them a run for their money there at the end and then gave them everything they could handle in the last series. But this is not, they're not playing the Guardians or the Royals or that. I'm not knocking the Yankees by any stretch, but I feel like we've just, you know, Subway Series. Oh, that team's got a lot to do with
this. Nobody said Subway Series. Everybody.
There's been a lot of conversation about the Subway Series.
Yeah, we've been done less of it, but we've mentioned it because you have to. They're both in the championship series. But
and I know the season feels magical. I agree. But you know what? Sometimes.
Jesus, Debbie Downer.
I'm not a Debbie Downer.
Jerry sucks.
I'm not. I didn't mean to bring this up. Al asked me a question. We were talking about it. It's how I feel.
What kind of question? I didn't hear it. So what
he
kind
says
of
it feels like it's going to be a 7-game series.
That Al said that.
Yes.
Okay. Good for Al. Because he's usually negative. I mean, really. I mean, it's the offensive line. I mean, all those.
I said I won't be negative until it's 2 losses in a row.
Yeah.
Then you get
right.
Negative.
That's fair.
And I actually think they win tonight.
What is on the top TV here? Because I have now seen back-to-back commercials. One with a cream that you rub on your Johnson to get a stiffy.
Okay.
A cream,
yes.
Followed by a pre-sex AIDS drug.
Okay,
back to back.
Yeah,
what is on here? Is this the Spice Channel?
What
channel are we watching?
I have no idea. That's probably what was the game
into Kelly Clarkson.
Into Kelly Clarkson for Wayfair.
Put the cream on us. Herbal boner pills.
It was called like a Rex or something, and it was a cream. And then right into the, hey, before you have sex, take this pill so you don't get HIV. Like, honestly, is this can't be like SNY, right?
No.
It could be. Why
what
not?
What is it?
I would think boner pills would be our demographic.
I would think that it's got to be like TNT.
Oh, it's TBS. TBS.
All right.
All right. That makes sense, I guess.
Okay.
Well, get it off now, please.
All right.
It's distracting.
I will try to get it off once we are done with Jerry's update and we go into break.
You know what? Here, I'll take it.
Matter of fact, even watching the game last night, FS1, the amount of whether they're erection medications or lozenges. I mean, it's like every commercial break has them.
They've got boner lozenges now?
Oh, yeah. Put it under your tongue. Dissolves in it. They say it's got sildenafil and what's the other one? It's a combination of the two in the commercials because they play it every break.
Wow.
And it's supposedly the best combination of the two, dissolves under your tongue. Bang.
Isn't that Blue Chew?
Blue Chew's a chew, though.
This is a lozenge.
This is like now we've gone to cream and lozenges.
Yeah.
And bubble gums.
Yeah. I mean, there's going to be like a nose spray next.
Actually, that is coming out soon. Because that's the quickest way to get it into your system.
What?
I definitely heard that.
That was just that's why they're saying that vaccines are more effective with the nose spray vaccine as opposed to taking the shot in the arm.
I mean, that's not exactly like a great way to romance. So hold on, honey. Shooting this thing up your schnoz. No, you're going to have to do that in the bathroom and then come back out.
And whatever, yes.
And Hims has a double active hard mint.
Okay. Hard mint.
Yeah.
Not a soft mint.
And what I was talking about is this Rose Sparks. That's the commercial that's on FS1.
Yes. Yeah, I've seen that.
It's got sildenafil, I'm not saying it right, and tadalafil, dissolvable lozenges.
Okay. Lozenge. Little boner lozenge.
Yep. Your next.
Right.
Okay.
If you told me there was a guy walking around that had a penis for a nose, I wouldn't be stunned anymore. Nothing would surprise me.
You'd be like, yeah, I could see that happening.
Like this April Fool's, I'm going to slip some of those boner lozenges into Boomer's Buckley's bag.
I don't know what's going on here, bitch. You get me a cup of coffee, I can't stand up.
All right. We had to have a couple laughs after that disaster last night. Now let's get back into it, Jerry, huh?
All right, brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. We're also brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. So obviously there was a lot that went on early in this game, but this is where the game was really just completely put out of reach.
The 0-1 hit deep to right field. This ball's going a long way. Only question is fair or foul, and it is a fair ball, three-run homer deep into the Coca-Cola corner in right field, right down the line.
Yes, it was. Howie Rose, Mets Odyssey Radio.
Oh, did he spank
that? Ohtani's three-run homer makes it 7-0, 8-0 the final as L.A. goes up 2-1. That second inning we're talking about, the Dodgers scored a couple of runs on a walk, a throwing error, infield single, and a sack fly that very well could have turned into a double or a triple if not for a great catch sliding by Tyrone Taylor. Here was Kike Hernandez on FS1. So he homers in this game. He's batting .333 in the postseason, career .280 in the postseason. He has produced almost every postseason aside from maybe his first couple. Why so good now?
It just brings out the best in me. I don't know if it's the Latino blood. I don't know what it is, man, but I put myself in a position since I was a little kid thinking that I was playing October baseball when the games were important for me as a kid.
Well, yeah, it's definitely not the Latino blood because Francisco Alvarez couldn't hit a bull in the ass with a paddle.
That was a bit of a struggle for him, yes. Here was Carlos Mendoza talking about, A, a couple of plays by Severino in that second inning, and yes, that bad throw by Alvarez that really hurt.
Maybe trying to do a little too much there. And then, obviously, Sevy couldn't make that play on that comebacker, potential double play. We only get one out. When you're giving a team like this extra outs, extra bases, they're going to make you pay.
And here was Severino, who did that in fact as well. He says his fielding was poor. He acknowledges it.
I was not good, you know. I should have caught those. I mean, one, it should have been an easy double play. Another one, I should have stopped the guy going to home plate. But, you know, make a couple mistakes there.
And how about before I play?
Nervous energy. You know, it looked like, I don't know about you guys, when they were close up on Sevy's face, it looked like he had like bags under his eyes, like he didn't get any sleep.
I did not notice that. I thought his first inning was very good. I just think that the combination of the Mets pitchers being a little bit too wild and the Dodgers' ability to take is what's gotten these games out of hand. You know, it's these freaking walks.
Yeah, the walks are killers.
And I know Verducci said that is the Dodgers' superpower, and the Mets know they're walking too many guys, and it's not all on them. You know, you got to give credit to the Dodgers for their good takes. But, I mean, every one of these innings, you walk two guys in a row, it's like, you know they're going to score.
You're just putting yourself in a spot. Here was Lindor, says, need to bounce back.
Stay the course, continue to compete, come back tomorrow and give everything you have, you know. They're a really good team, they're a really good pitching staff and good hitters, and you have to give them everything you have, otherwise you're not going to win.
Look at that play, he made it shortstop.
Yeah. Yes.
I mean, it's unbelievable.
How about the play by Taylor and the outfield?
So those two unbelievable defensive plays, and then you have Severino, you've got Alvarez. You know, it's like you got a little bit of everything last night.
All in the same game. There's other reasons why they lost, whether it was the fact that they didn't hit, the pitching wasn't great. Yes, they made some fielding gaffes, but as Frank the Tank would tell us,
do not ever wear the black in a postseason game again. Just wear the pinstripes, wear the regular uniforms. You cannot wear these uniforms again. These uniforms are cursed.
All right.
There's a couple things there.
They're not cursed because I actually saw yesterday, it was a big day in Mets history. So it was when the 1969, October 16th, the 1969 Mets won the World Series. It was also when they clinched in 2000 the NLCS, and I saw on X Mike Hampton
in his file black jersey
out to Timo Perez, and they're wearing the black jerseys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I don't want to hear it.
Well, you did hear it on FS1 then with Burkhart and David Ortiz.
Yeah, Frank the Tank was right. The black unis are the... You know,
I got you, Frank.
It's not where it's at. You got to wear the pinstripes.
That's right.
That's the way it's got to go.
We'll see what they do tonight. You got Game 4, 8:08. Jose Quintana facing Yoshinobu Yamamoto in Cleveland. Yankees and Guardians resume the ALCS. New York leading 2-0. Clark Schmidt opposing Matthew Boyd. First pitch on the Fan will be at 5:08.
Every Met fan screamed to bring the black jersey.
Yes, they did.
When Steve Cohen was the owner.
We're very excited when he did that.
Right, and now no one wants to have the black jerseys anymore.
Mm.
Come on.
Yep. Week 7 in the NFL opens tonight. Saints and Broncos from New Orleans. You got Rashid Shaheed and Chris Olave both out with injury. Shaheed a knee injury, Olave a concussion. Sunday, the Giants take on the Eagles. Obviously, the Giants got to figure things out with Andrew Thomas, now done for the season, had surgery. Here was Daniel Jones.
It's the next guy up, and that group's played well this year. I think, obviously, it's a tough blow to lose Andrew. He's, you know, a tremendous player, a tremendous leader for us. But, you know, I'm confident guys will step up. And I think, you know, more than anything, it's about that group playing well together as a unit.
And we'll see if they can do that. Defensively, they're getting ready to face Saquon Barkley. Here's Dexter Lawrence.
I've been against, you know, other guys that came here, that was here and then went somewhere else. So, I mean, at the end of the day, to me, it's football. And, you know, you got to beat whoever in front of you.
That's it. Beat whoever's in front of you.
All these fake Dexter Lawrence trade rumors yesterday on the internet. I was like, how did this even start? I was like, there's no way in hell they are trading that guy.
No way. He's the backbone of the defense.
It's
man.
Just so
foundational
I mean,
player.
I just think it's because he's so good and the Giants are 2-4 and people are seeing other guys get traded. They're like, oh, who's the best guy in the Giants that they could trade away? No, they're not trading Dexter Lawrence. That would completely suck the entire life out of that team.
They actually have a defense that can win games.
Yeah. So just stop with that.
All right, Sunday night, Jets in Pittsburgh. Devontae Adams met the media yesterday. So are you looking for big things with Aaron Rodgers here?
Well, I don't know yet. We haven't played yet, so I don't know. He might not be as good as he used to be, so we'll see. But, no, serious. I mean, it's great just being back, being able to be with my guy. Like, first and foremost, just being able to spend time with him every day again is something that I put a lot of value on.
They are living together, so they can spend a lot of time together. Here was Rodgers fired up that his pal's back.
I never thought this was possible, so having him here and then the ability to pair him with...
I was waiting for that reaction.
Oh, boy. No, I was like, is he really talking about Devontae Adams? Like, that's why I was waiting.
Yeah.
But, my God.
He was. Meantime, in Vegas, Antonio Pierce, the message to the team now that Adams is gone.
Next man up. Move on. He was out for the last 2 weeks, so...
F him.
He did not say that he wanted to, though.
Yeah.
You could certainly make that case. And then you also had Tom Brady. I'll get you the audio next hour or the hour after. The reception he got walking into the Raiders facility was unbelievable.
I did see that. All the people there on the stairs, every employee greeting him.
It was bad. And they had the Raider music, the theme music going. It was pretty good.
I saw a Photoshop where they put Mark Davis's hair on Tom Brady. Oh, it's beautiful.
Yeah. And then, Gary, I want to play this for you. Game 3 of the WNBA Finals. Liberty and Lynx, they are tied in the final seconds.
8 seconds remaining in the fourth quarter of Game 3. 4 seconds. Ionescu will heave. And hit! And hit! Sabrina Ionescu with the biggest shot in Liberty history.
And that was Ryan Rucco on ESPN.
That was some shot,
by the way.
That's
got to be 40 feet out.
Yes.
Has to be. So that was pretty good. That was a couple seconds left, but they hold on for that win, 80-77, and a 2-1 series lead. NHL tonight, the Rangers in Detroit, the Islanders visit St. Louis, the Devils play Ottawa.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Hi, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. I need you to keep an eye on me. I need you to straighten me out, make sure that everything is okay. Sort of like people, if they feel like things are slipping in their life one way or another, they may have a sponsor or someone they talk to on the phone, get them back on track.
I'm here for you.
Because I am the regression is real and I'm catching myself. I'm doing things I haven't done in years.
I know, and for people that don't see us behind the scenes in the breaks, we all know that we're watching somebody have a meltdown in front of us.
It's what do I always say? Like, you turn to me like in these breaks and you're like, you come like a stat or something. I'm like, you know, give me something else in the break other than sports. And here I am in the breaks arguing with Peter Schwartz's tweets.
Yes, I don't know why you've gotten yourself into this and how. I know that the Mets have brought and activated your older fandom and the way that you would react towards the Mets in your 20s, maybe even in your teens in some respects.
Yeah.
Because some of it is a little bit immature.
It is, and I don't like it.
And then what I have to constantly tell you is that you are a father now. You have two beautiful children.
Yeah.
You live in a beautiful town, Sayville, maybe one of the nicest towns in the United States. And you've now morphed back into that psycho sports guy.
I'm getting closer by the day.
I'm here to discuss it with you.
Yeah, I just need, at least I'm catching myself. They say the first step into getting back or getting right is to acknowledge that you've got a problem. And I'm acknowledging that I do indeed have a problem, and so, I'm catching myself.
Well, what was the actual sports take of Peter Schwartz that just annoyed you?
He said that the Sabrina Ionescu, who, by the way, he could not pronounce her name correctly in the last couple of updates, overnight
Sabrina
updates.
Sabrina Ionescu.
Yeah, so one more time I was talking over it, Teddy.
Sabrina Ionescu.
Yeah, Sabrina Ionescu. No, said that shot was bigger to New York basketball than the LJ 4-point play, which to me is blasphemy, especially that particular shot because I was there. I mean, I understand it was a big shot in a finals. You can't compare the NBA to the WNBA. You can't.
Well, I know they're getting there. Look at the amount of people at that game last night. I mean, they're doing a great job with their attendance and everything, and they are growing. There's no question. They are growing.
No doubt they're growing.
But I mean, like,
thanks
come
to
on,
Caitlin
Peter.
Clark, but let's chill the F out. Come on. And the Allen Houston game five shot.
Yeah,
but
why are you so upset with what his take is?
I don't. Because
I'm, and maybe because he feels I'm, like he has to do that because he mispronounced her name like
that's
that.
That's not my fault. Mm.
Because I'm losing it. That's
all right,
why.
All right. Just kind of let's reel it in. Do you need a round of golf?
No, I don't think I can.
Sabrina Ionescu.
I don't think I just can't.
Sure. How about if I give you a potential for next week?
Next week, maybe. Yeah, just not.
And then you could look forward to that. And maybe. Something that you can I can kind of drag you back into your real life.
Please do. Please drag me back in. Chris on Staten Island. What's going on, Chris?
Morning, guys. How are you?
All right, Chris, what's happening, man? Tell us what you think about what happened last night.
Well, I was at the game. I got to be honest, I like Mendoza a lot. I don't want to talk bad about him after one game, you know, but there's no strategy. I was there. The stadium was rocking all night up until the point where Iglesias came up, first and second, one out. I know we don't want to give up that second out, but bunt him over, try and get something started, do something a little differently. He just grounded through a double play. All the life in the stadium was sucked out at that moment. Up until that moment, I believe we could come back and win that game.
You know, the thing about it is, Chris, is that, you know, these players, you know, get put into these positions and they have come through time and again. And then every now and again, they're not going to come through and it's going to be disappointing. And we're all going to look for a reason of why that happened or how we could have avoided that particular play. You know, I think about the walks that Severino had. I think about the misplay that Alvarez had. I think about Alvarez paralysis by analysis when he's in the batter's box. I think about all of those things, you know, and this is a team that has gone through it all, just like every other team in the league, by the way, that is left. The four teams that are left have gone through it all themselves. So, like, what? I mean, they're going to be dud games, unfortunately, and there may be a moment in one of those games where a manager could get himself involved in some way, shape, or form, or that manager can show a belief in the player that is delivered time and again, which is exactly what Mendoza is doing.
Stan in Riverhead, what's going on, Stan?
Hey, good morning, guys. Love the show. Longtime Mets fan. You know, I think Mendoza's done a great job this year with this team. He should be the manager of the year. But at what point do you think he should consider putting Alvarez on the bench? I mean, the guy is beyond struggling, and I think it's really hurting the team. I know he likes to stick with his guys. He's done that all year, but why not put Torrens in there and see what he can do one game?
Yeah, so Stan, I'm at that point, personally. But I'm also, when Carlos Mendoza talks about the Quintana-Alvarez connection that they had, that's also something we have to consider. Because Quintana has to pitch well. The Mets have to get off to a good start. They have to get a lead. And if there's any chance that Torrens behind the plate does not give us the best Quintana, then that's something you have to consider. But I don't know the full dynamics there. For me, even though Luis Torrens isn't Johnny Bench, Francisco Alvarez is an automatic out. And it's something I would highly, highly, highly consider, talk to Quintana about, go through it. And it doesn't sound like Mendoza's even considering it. He's just like, boom, that's what I'm doing. And I don't know. I disagree with that. I wish he would look into it just a little bit more.
Yeah, you know, there's two ways of looking at it. Like I said earlier this morning, if you start making changes, then maybe you're panicking. If you stick with your guys, then the loyalty is something that's admirable. And if you're in that locker room, if you're in that locker room, you've been there before, you were a football player, you know what it's like. And I understand that this is not game 50 of the regular season. This is the NLCS. And there's something that, for me, that I appreciate what Mendoza's doing. I really do.
You got to at least pinch hit for him.
Maybe late
with
in the
runners
game,
on
yes.
base.
If it's late
in the game.
Yes.
And I thought they were going to do that yesterday, but they ended up pinch hitting McNeil for Taylor and letting Alvarez go up there. But you can't have him come up in the seventh inning down a run with the bases loaded and one out and have him actually hit in that spot again. You can't. Because he's going to strike out or he's going to pop out.
But by the way, that's a different story. Yes, a total different story. Right. The situation.
But he's let him do it every time.
All right, so, okay, calm down there, cuz. Hey, by the way, I'm offering breakfast this morning. You want some nice breakfast this morning?
I won't turn that down, no.
All right, that's good.
I just took my balance of nature, too, by the way.
All right, good. Maybe this will make you a little bit more happy now.
You know what I do, and you witness this, too? It's like six capsules with the fruit and the veggies.
Yeah.
And then right before I pop them into my mouth, I go, I do it. Then I pop it in my mouth.
And it makes you feel better when you say, I do it.
I go, I do it. Just like Phil says in the in the commercial.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my gosh. I go, I do it. Right. Bang. Right down the throat. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
Okay, so we're gonna pick it up around here.
All right.
You know, we're gonna get you back in your game. You know, we got a lot of talk. We need to talk the Met fan off the cliff. And we got to let them get it off their chest like we did the last two callers. But I'm just telling you guys, Mendoza is not changing. And I admire that. I do really admire that. He's been around a long time. He's a rookie manager, but he's been around a lot of great baseball teams, a lot of great players. He has seen everything. Don't think that that he hasn't seen everything. And he knows what's going on. He knows that Alvarez is struggling. Even he said it after the game last night. Maybe he's trying to do a little too much.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.